Luke chapter 3. And over 40 years ago, Brother Ward came to Grafton, West Virginia, to start the Independent Baptist Church. Well, he brought a missionary. Sometime, we had been going there for a while, but a missionary came, Brother Ray and Sandy St. John. And the St. Johns were missionaries in Africa, and he presented his work. And I had never been around a missionary, but there was he came and he showed his slides, and he showed pictures. Now, they were missionaries in Africa. He showed these two African men. They had their legs cut off, but they had gotten saved, and they were evangelists. They traveled around Africa on these, what we would call a creeper, little, you know, like you slide under a car. Only it had little tundra tires on it, but they had these things cut for their hands. They put their hand in, and this wooden thing came around this way, and they would push themselves on them little carts around the countryside in Africa, preaching the gospel. And God got a hold of my heart. You know, what are you doing for me? You know, I've got two good legs, did back then, but I wasn't doing much for the Lord. But these two African men, just God used them and that missionary. Anyway, I surrendered that night to be a missionary. And today, would you and your husband please stand? This is Brother Ray St. John's granddaughter. And I'm sure glad to have you folks here. And but I just, Brother Ray just, he went to be with the Lord just a short time ago. And I talked to your grandma just a while back, and she seemed like she's doing really good. Pray, if you would, for Sandy St. John, but very faithful people. Now, today is the 30th birthday of Independent Baptist Church. 30 years ago, we started, and we didn't have a songbook, not one songbook, not one folding chair. And Brother and Mrs. Seitz came, and we were meeting in Bill Surrey's home. Had Sunday school class. Betty taught Shane and Kristen and Darren in one of the bedrooms there. And but it was, you know, and then seeing today where the church is, it's really just, it's amazing. 30 years later. You know, Joseph was 30 years old when he stood before Pharaoh for the first time. 2 Samuel chapter 5, David was 30 years old when he began to reign. And here in Luke chapter 3, Jesus is really getting started in his public ministry in Luke 3:21. It says, "Now when all the people were baptized, it came to pass that Jesus, also being baptized and praying, the heaven was opened, and the Holy Ghost descended in a bodily shape like a dove upon him. And a voice came from heaven which said, 'Thou art my beloved Son, in thee I am well pleased.'" Verse 23, "And Jesus himself began to be about 30 years of age." So 30 years is an important age, I believe. And it's an age, you know, when, you know, a lot of people think you become a man, you become a woman when you're like in your teen years. We were in Tennessee. I preached a missions conference at Brother Ward's home church there in Lawrenceburg, Tennessee. Went to a restaurant, and they had this big sign on the wall. It said, "Teenagers, tired of being harassed by your stupid parents? Act now, move out, get a job, pay your own bills, and do it now while you know everything." But you don't really know who you are until at least you get around 30. So 30 years, you know, the church being 30 years old does not mean that it's time for us to just sit back in rocking chairs and take it easy, and the folks will just flow in, and, you know, and everything will work the way that it should. No, that's not the way that it is. Independent Baptist Church of Anchorage is now at a place where we can really begin the ministry. You know, what we've done in the past has been good things, been great things has been accomplished here. But we can't live on what was. We can't live on the past. We've got to live on the future. Now, I am so thankful for those of you who've been here for all the years and you're faithful. You're just very faithful. You're always here. You always rank where you ought to be. And I am very, very thankful for that. And I know a lot of people that are. But the fields are still white unto harvest. And we still need to preach the gospel to every creature. And that is up to every believer, not just Pastor McGovern. It is up to every creature. And but there's plenty to do. Now, this morning, I want to preach on the subject. And I'm going to cut this short. They told me to, this 5 minutes till 12. But anyway, I'm not going to cut it short, but it was short to begin with, and I'll just go through it kind of quick. But I want to preach to you on the church and the tortoise. You say, what is a tortoise? For those of you who don't know, that is a turtle. And I want to preach on the church. Didn't you bring turtle soup or something to one of the wild game suppers, Greg? And these poor little critters that crawl around, and everybody loves turtles. How many? Anybody in here love turtles? Collect turtles and whatever. A lot of people do. Well, Greg kills them and eats them, makes soup out of them. But anyway, look at Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter number 12. You say the church and the tortoise. Yep. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse number 1. The scripture says, wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. You know, I appreciated the song that the choir sang. Lord, help us to finish the race. You know, there's a lot of people that started the race in this church that are not in the race anymore. But there's a lot that are still in the race. And I look around and see, you know, the Jensens and the Taylors and the Jordans and the Sites and Greg and Ruth and Mitch. And there's a lot of, you know, Matt and Matt Brown and just a lot of people that are still in the race. But we need to lay aside every weight that so easily beset, the sin which does so easily beset us, and every weight, and run this race that is set before us. Verse 2 says, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set down before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Lord, I pray that you'd bless now the preaching. I pray, Holy Spirit, you'd do the work that only you can do. And Lord, thank you for what we've already heard this morning. And Father, I pray that you would bless and have your will and way in the invitation that will follow now, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. The church and the tortoise. 1 Corinthians 9:24 says, know ye not that they which run a race run all, but one receiveth the prize. So run that you may obtain. God wants us not just to run the race. God wants us to win the race. Well, that's not politically even correct today. Nobody wins and nobody loses. That's the way it's supposed to be. No, one wins, one loses. You know, two things you got to have in a race. You got to have a starting line, you got to have a finish line. And the third guy that comes in did not win the race. Well, yeah, but he's going to feel bad if he didn't win. Well, he'll just have to feel bad. Listen, that's the way it is. This is the hard, cold facts of life. You run a race and somebody wins, somebody loses. Somebody comes in second, somebody comes in third. You know, they run the Iditarod race here in Alaska, and I met people who said, hey, I finished the Iditarod. I don't care if I didn't win. I finished it. I finished my course, and that's a 1,200-mile dog sled race, and they're just happy to finish the race. I know some of them, I've met some of them said, hey, I'm happy I was in it. I got started, you know, my dog's all froze to death, fell in the water, whatever, you know, but I was in the Iditarod. They're happy that they were in and they had to be medevaced out, but they were just happy that they got in. They did their best. And listen, we've got to strive to win this race that God has put us in. And the Independent Baptist Church, listen, it's not time for you to get, you know, in this, I'm happy with where I am. I'm happy with what I've done. You know, God has done some great things here, but there's a lot more that needs to be done. The church is in a race, not with flesh and blood, but with against principalities, against the powers of rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. And the prize that is won are the souls of men. Listen, how many people this week have you witnessed to? How many gospel tracts have you given out? I mean, how are you doing in this race? You know, the other day, I was outside the post office, and a man came over. I had a trailer behind the truck, and he said, "Can I look at your axles? I got some problems with my trailer." And I said, "Yes, sir, go ahead." He came to me, he asked me and said, "Well, thank you for letting me see it." I said, "Yeah, that's fine, anytime," and he left. Well, then I got in the truck, and it's like the Holy Spirit said, "Hey, Mr. Spiritual Giant there, Stan Roach, I sent that man to you. You didn't say anything about me." You know, I had to wait there until this guy come out of the post office. Then I went to his truck. I said, "Look, I was supposed to tell you something that I didn't tell you." And, you know, we need to get in this race, and we're fighting for the souls of men. Your witness is so important, because you're going to see someone that I'll never see, Pastor McGovern will never see. So if you don't witness to them, they're not going to get witnessed to. And, you know, the story is told of a turtle, and a hare, which is a rabbit. But they were going to have a big race. The rabbit was always laughing at the turtle because he's so slow. He's steadfast, but he's slow. And so they set up this big race, and the race started, and that when they said go, boy, that rabbit just, boom, he's gone. The turtle, he started, and he gave it all he had. And here he goes, he's doing the best that he can, but he's in this race. He's not fast, but he is faithful. 1 Corinthians 15:58, "Therefore, my beloved brethren, be a steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord." So the turtle, he's flying down the road, you know, as fast as he can. He's just giving it all. But the rabbit, man, he's fast. He's quick. And boom! He saw a patch of cabbage along the road. So he stopped and he said, "Hey, wait a minute. And he looked back. Here comes the turtle back, just not far off the starting line. And he said, "I'm going to stop and have some lunch." So he stopped and he overate some more. He ate so much, now he's sleepy. But he looks back, and here comes the turtle. He's doing the best he can. He's faithful. He's not quitting. And that rabbit said, "I'm going to take a nap. I mean, I can sleep for an hour and still outrun that guy." So he takes a nap. He wakes up, and he looks back. He doesn't see the turtle. He looks back at the finish line, and here goes Mr. Turtle, faithful as can be. You know the rest of the story. He couldn't catch him. He got there just as the turtle. It might have been a photo finish, I don't know. But just as they got to the finish line, the turtle stepped across. Listen, the tortoise can teach us some lessons as Independent Baptist Church. Number one, the tortoise is unclean. Leviticus 11:29 says, "These also shall be unclean unto you among the creeping things that creep upon the earth, the weasel and the mouse and the tortoise after his kind." The tortoise it's an unclean animal. We serve them here at Wild Game Suppers. Listen, when I was a little boy in West Virginia, we had a lot of turtles. And I would catch everyone I could. I mean, it's like I got a new toy whenever I'd catch a turtle. But they all got away from me. Now, I put them in a box. I'm going to keep them. And they can't get out of the box. But I don't want them to die. So, you know, they won't eat potato chips. They won't eat peanut butter and jelly. They won't eat bologna sandwiches. They don't like pizza. So before they die, I would turn them out. But or they would escape on their own. But They're an unclean animal. You know, the church, Independent Baptist Church, is made up of a bunch of unclean sinners. There was a lady came here years ago, and she came two, three, four services, and then she told me, she said, "Pastor Roach, I've got to go to another church." She said, "Every time I come here, I leave feeling like I'm a sinner." And I said, "Do you know why you feel that way?" She said, "Why?" I said, "Because you are a sinner." I said, "We're all sinners. Some saved sinners and some lost sinners. But," I said, "Jesus said you must be born again because you are a sinner. You are guilty. I am guilty. But when you accept Christ, now you become a new creature in Christ. Now you're made fit for heaven through the blood of Christ." And but she just said, I can't do this. So anyway, we didn't see her anymore. But the tortoise is an unclean animal, just like the church is made from unclean sinners. But I remember the day when Kim Sears, in the warehouse, in her little office back there, she said, I understand. I am a sinner. I understand that. And I want to be saved." And she'd been here for, how many years you been here now? A long time. Ladies don't tell their age. So. She doesn't want you to know she'd been here 40 years. 40 out of 30. But the church is made up of unclean sinners. Isaiah 53:6, "All we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned everyone to his own way. And the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all." The tortoise also is helpless. The tortoise, listen, has to rely on his creator. The creator is the one who protects the tortoise. Listen, we have got to rely on the God that created us. Exodus 15:3, "Thou in thy mercy hast led forth the people which thou hast redeemed. Thou hast guided them in thy strength unto thy holy habitation." Romans 9:16, "So then, it is not of him that willeth, nor of him that runneth, but of God that showeth mercy." We're not going to win this race on our own. But it is God who shows us mercy. And it is only through the power of God that this happens. Now the tortoise, he is equipped for the battles that he faces here on this earth because of what his creator has done. The tortoise is covered with this big hard shell. And he's got a shell. If you turn a turtle upside down, they got a hard shell in the bottom too. Now it's in sections so they can move. But when danger comes, that tortoise, he just backs back in his little house, shuts the doors and the windows, and he's safe. Unless a grizzly gets hold of him. Or some kids. But anyway, he is equipped for the battle. Now if you look at Ephesians chapter 6 verse number 10. Ephesians 6:10, I'll go ahead and read. "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. And having done all to stand, stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God." God has equipped us to fight the battles that we're going to face in this battle, this race that we're in. And listen, the devil's going to do everything he can to stop you, to keep you from winning the race that God wants you to win. You're fighting, you're in this race, you're trying to win the souls of your neighbor, and listen, your neighbors need you. But the devil's also, he's running against you, and he's trying, he wants to get there before you do. He wants to destroy your neighbors, your friends, your family. we have got to stay in the battle. We got to stay with it. Ancient armies designed their body armor after the tortoise, the turtle. They made these shells to cover. It's like body armor, what we call body armor today. But they made these things. So after this little creature that God created. So, you know, also many turtles have ended up in places they never thought possible. Independent Baptist Church has ended up in a place that no one ever thought possible. And, you know, there's a major lesson here to be learned. You know, we think sometimes that, you know, what would God do without me? You know, God would be in a lot of trouble if he didn't have me. So as a favor to God, I'm here, God, I'm going to make myself available. Because I know you need me. The creator of the universe. The one that nothing, there is nothing without him. He made everything around us out of nothing. Years ago, we worked in Whitehorse with the natives there. And an old native fellow over there told me, he said, you know how the earth came about? I said, how? And he said, the raven was, they're part of their family. He said, the raven flew over, picked this dirt up, brought it over and dropped it in the middle of nowhere. Went back and got some more dirt, come back, dropped it in the middle of nowhere. Before you knew it, the earth was here. And I said, well, where'd he get the dirt? Oh, I'm not sure. Listen, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And, you know, years ago when we started this work, I know that a lot of people thought this will never take off. I mean, I wondered myself. But I mean, we ended up in a place that I didn't really dream possible. God has blessed this part of our ministry like nothing else he's ever blessed. And, I mean, it's just amazing to look at what God has done. And, you know, the greatest part of looking at the ministry here that we had is it's still here. Pastor McGovern is pastor. And, you know, it's a lot of, that doesn't happen in a lot of places. 30 years and you had two pastors. But God has blessed it, and it's because of your faithfulness to the Lord, your faithfulness to His Word. You are like that tortoise that just, He's faithful. He's slow, but He's steadfast. You know, when we go back to West Virginia, West Virginia is a slow state. I go back and I'll call. I used to call my brother Fred and I'd say, hey, Fred. And he'd say, hello. How are you, Fred? Fine. I mean, everything is just slow. And, you know, you come back and maybe you think it's, you know, I'm slow this morning because we've been in West Virginia for a while. But that's actually Mrs. Lowe's brew that she gave me here. But you got to be faithful. You got to be faithful. Independent Baptist Church come to a place no one ever thought possible. But remember, like a turtle setting on top of a fence post, he didn't get there by himself. You find a turtle setting on top of a fence post, he didn't get there by himself. Someone much bigger than that turtle had to set him on top of that fence post. Now, you can set a turtle on top of a fence post, and their little legs come out of the shell over here, and when that shell's sitting here on top of the fence post, and their legs are over here and over here and over here and over here. But they have no—they didn't get there by themselves. Well, I got news for you: Independent Baptist Church did not get here by themselves. This was not because of Pastor Roach, Mrs. Roach. This was not because you and I—we worked together and we made all this. No, God's favor was on this place. And when God's favor is on your life, good things happen. I mean, that's just the way it works. Now, bad things happen. Yeah, it rains on the just and the unjust. But when God's favor, God smiles on your life, God smiles on your family, good things happen. God smiles on Independent Baptist Church, and you don't ever want to lose that. You want God to continue to smile and be happy with the Independent Baptist Church. And the way you do that is by being faithful, just like the tortoise. The tortoise was so slow, he'll never win the race. But he did. He did. Listen, I honestly believe it ain't going to be very long at all. And you and I are going to be crossing the finish line. I believe we're so close to the rapture of the church. But we've got to stay faithful. Jesus said in John 5:30, I can do of mine own self nothing. I judge, and my judgment is just, because I seek not mine own will, but the will of the Father which hath sent me. John 8:28, then said Jesus unto them, when ye have lifted up the Son of Man, then ye shall know that I am he, and that I do nothing of myself, but as my Father hath taught me, I speak these things. Jesus said, I can do nothing of myself. He does what his Father told him to do. This is the Son of God, the only begotten Son of God. So what makes us think that we're different? We can do our own thing and get by with it, and God will be happy with us. No, he won't. He will not be happy with us. John 15:5, I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me ye can do nothing. You can do nothing. Sure and for certain, we can do nothing without the Lord Jesus. We've got to have, we got to make a choice. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered, and men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit, so shall ye be my disciples. Listen, Independent Baptist Church is like a turtle sitting on top of a fence post. He didn't get there by himself. We don't have anything to brag on other than the Lord Jesus. God put this church where it is today. And God will keep this church where it is as long as God is happy with this church. As long as God is happy with me. Now, I'm still a member of the church here, and I tithe here, and I support missions here. And listen, I want God to be pleased with my life, and I try to pray every day for Betty, and I try to pray every day for Pastor and Mrs. McGovern, for all of our missionaries, that God will bless them, protect them, and God will bless the church and make the church to grow and prosper and move forward. And listen, I fully understand this church did not get here because of Stan Roach. Now, I being in the way, the Lord led me, but it is the Lord who blessed the efforts, the fruitful efforts of Stan and Betty Roach. And God set the church where it is today. Just like that turtle sitting on top of that fence post. Didn't get there by itself. Paul said in Philippians 3:13, brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth into those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. The church and the tortoise. Listen, we can learn a lot from the tortoise. We're in a race, and we just need to be faithful like the tortoise. We just need to stay faithful. Some are faster than others. Pastor McGovern's got a lot more energy than what I have. Means I'm slower. Pastor McGovern didn't grow up in West Virginia. It means I'm slower. But we're both in a race, and we're both to be faithful. And you do what God has made you to do. You be what God has made you to be. You know, the Bible says to him that, let's see, my mind just slipped. I slipped a gear here. To him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. So, you know, some things are sin to me because I know it's sin. I know it's wrong. Now I'm accountable. But you do the same thing, and it's really not sin to you because you don't know. But when God enlightens you on it, now it's a different story. Now when you do it, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. So, you know, I know a lot of things from this turtle, this tortoise. And I know we didn't get here on our own. God put us here. The Bible says, to whom much is given, of him shall much be required. You've got truth that a lot of people don't have. A lot of people can't even figure out what the Bible is. You know what the scriptures are. You've been taught what the scriptures are. So we just need to be obedient to the Lord.